I want to talk to you a little bit before we go back to prayer about a verse of scripture that transformed my life, changed the way I think, changed the direction I took. Now, I came to Christ as a young police officer. I was 24 years of age. Many of you know my story. When I suddenly started thinking about God and ended up on a journey to find out who God was and how that applies to my life. I had been raised in church, but but I never really found any kind of a living relationship with God. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't understand what salvation really is. I thought, well, if you just go to church long enough, maybe that's what salvation is. But of course, that I came to learn later on in my life, that's not what it is at all. I eventually found out through meeting another Christian police officer that salvation is me understanding that I can't save myself. I can't save myself through good works or even going to church every day of my life can't save me. That God sent his son to die on a cross in my place. He paid the price for my wrong. And what he asked of me is that I would open my heart and ask him to come into my life and be my Lord and my Savior. I promised not only to forgive my sin, but he said he would give me a full and meaningful life on this side of eternity, that he would actually change me from the inside out. I was very intrigued by that thought because there was a lot of things in my life that I knew were there. They had been there since I was young. They were probably going to be there when I got old. Things like a bad temper, for example, or other things like that. They were just part of my character. And I knew that I couldn't change them. There was deep-set fear in my life because of some experiences I'd had when I was younger. And I knew I couldn't get free. But he promised me not just to save me, but to give me an abundant life. And I want you to listen to me online tonight. His promise is not just to save you. That's a wonderful thing. If that's all it was, then obviously that's good enough. To know that heaven is your home. He could have done it just that way, and that's all it would be. But that's not what he said. He said not only to save us, but to give us a full and abundant life, a meaningful life, to find the reason why we were created by God in the first place and what it is that God desires to do through us, that he was going to do the miraculous in us, and it would become a testimony to this world of the reality that God is alive. He's not just stuck in a way in a corner in the church somewhere, but he's actually alive and wants to interact with his people and be God to us and be God through us. And so in 1978, I opened my heart to Jesus Christ and invited him to come in to be my Lord and my Savior. I didn't fully understand that. I didn't know where it was going to lead me. I just knew in my heart, I felt that this is right. This is true. There's something about this. There's something about that God has for me that's so much deeper than what I have for myself or what other people have said about my life. And so I opened my heart to him and he came in. And suddenly from inside, I began to feel hope for the future. I began to feel that God could change me. There's a verse in the scriptures where the disciples were discussing with Jesus a certain limitation to humanity, may I put it that way, a place that they all knew nobody had the strength to go beyond this moment. They didn't have the ability to do what this particular chapter is speaking about. I won't go into the full detail of it, but they just knew they didn't have the ability. And they asked the question, they said, well, who then can be saved? Because they all felt none of us could do this. We don't have the capability of being this kind of a person. And Jesus answered them and said, this is in John chapter 19, verse 26. Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I remember the first time I heard that as a young man sitting in church. Could that be true? Is it true that with God, all things are possible? Is it true that there's no bondage of the past that can continue to hold my life? Is it true that God can give me vision for the future? Is it true that every prison door has to open? Is it true that every wound of the past can be healed? Is it true that God has a purpose for my life that is so much bigger than anything I could ever think or imagine for myself? Is it true that with God all things are possible. And somewhere along the line, I started to believe it. And God started to do the miraculous in my life. Many of you know my story. He set me free from 9 years of panic attacks, 9 years of working out like a fiend to try to control these panic attacks, 9 years of internal struggle, 9 years of dreading those moments when it seemed like a bucket of sand was being poured on my head. Darkness would surround me from all around, and a sense of hopelessness and a foreboding and a fear of death would come over my life. It just couldn't get any worse as far as I was concerned. But I read in the Word of God that if God be for me, who can be against me? And I felt one of these panic attacks as a brand new Christian coming into my life one night. And I went downstairs into my living room, and I remember the prayer I prayed because I had been reading, and I believed that with God all things were possible. And I prayed a prayer in my living room, and I said, Satan, you can only kill me if God lets you kill me. And if he does, I go to heaven tonight. Heaven is my home, so I win either way. So I said, you throw at me everything you've got, but I throw back at you what I now have in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I resist you. And as I prayed that prayer, when the moment the last words left my lips, I felt a heat touch my feet, a tangible heat. You could feel the heat. And it went through my legs, through my torso, through my chest, out the top of my head. That 40, almost 40 years ago now, set free completely that night from 9 years of hell, 9 years of panic attacks, gone, out of my life, gone. I have traveled the world. I have spoken to audiences in the hundreds of thousands. I have been in places I never dreamed I would ever be in, telling people that what Jesus did for me, Jesus can do for you. Because I believe with God, all things are possible. I believe he can take us in our weakness and he can give us strength, not just freedom, but strength to represent him. I remember when he started to call me to preach, I had no ability to speak. Still don't without the Holy Spirit. But I remember when he started calling me, and there would be just small little groups of people just to share my testimony, or maybe a small little country church or something like that. I would be literally sick inside. They'd be almost ready to introduce me, and I'm almost dry heaving in the bathroom. But I believed that with God, all things are possible. I believe, as the scripture says, that God takes the weak things of this world, and God takes those things that are nothing in themselves, and God takes those things that are foolish, those things that are despised by this world, and he raises them up. He takes the beggar out of the dunghill and sets him among princes. I believe that with God, all things are possible. And because I believe God took my life and the anointing of God's Holy Spirit began to come upon me, and the rest is history. I have traveled. I have seen God do what only God can do. I've watched God restore and give back what only God can give back. I'm watching him work in my family even today, because as long as I've walked with God, I still stand on the foundation that with God, all things are possible. I told some people earlier tonight that I took a walk yesterday. I started at 52nd. I went down 7th Street, and I went all the way to 33rd, to Madison Square Garden. Then I came back later on up Broadway. And if you ever walk that, you look at what you see with your natural eye. You see a society that's so jaded, so gone, so given to abuse and immorality, and there's a lust for everything that's imaginable to man. The common courtesies are not even there. And if I looked in the natural, I said, if I was in the natural, I would think that, God, this is hopeless to ever see a spiritual awakening here. But I don't live there. I believe that with God, all things are possible. I believe that with all my heart. And I walked all the way down 7th to 33rd, 19 blocks, and turned around, came back, and I started praying out loud, Lord, I don't walk by what I see with my natural eye. You are well able. You are well able to save these people. You are well able. You are well able to put this whole area of Times Square on its face on the sidewalk. You are God. There's nothing in this world that can stand against you, because I believe that with God all things are possible. I believe that with all my heart. I have lived it. I have walked it. I have breathed it. It's been my journey. It continues to be my journey. Because with God all things are possible. I believe that as I grow older, the best is yet saved for the end, because with God, all things are possible. It's not about the past, it's about the future. I live with hope. I live with vision. I live with an understanding that what God did for me, he can do for you. You listen to me online tonight. There's so many prayer requests. Let me just read to you a few of them that I've just set apart for this evening. From Washington, I grew up in a cult. I left religious institutions and started singing in clubs. I'm very tired and lonely. Please pray for me. You know, I know your religious experience, Julie, has been bitter. It's left you with such a bad taste in your mouth for the things of God. But God can bring you back and give you a sweetness about him that you've known nothing about all of your life. He can heal you from that past experience. And you've been singing in clubs. I'm telling you, he can give you a song in the house of God that is going to be beautiful. He can do something through your life. He can raise you up to be a singer for his glory. You have no idea what God can do. But I'll tell you one thing. With God, all things are possible, Julie, for you. Bobby from Grand Junction, Colorado says, I was horribly abused by my dad. Then I became an abuser towards my kids. I'm 84 years old and alone. Do you think God can reach me in time? Of course he can reach you, Bobby. Not just to, it's wonderful that he'll save you, but he can give you a future even though you're 84. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit comes on you, the old men will dream dreams. That means God will give you a vision for the future and show you what can be accomplished through your life. You don't have to live your life in regret. Yes, the regret will be there, the memories will be there, but it doesn't have to govern your life any longer, because, Bobby, with God, all things are possible. Shonda from Colorado says, bitterness and abuse from my grandfather and my father got into my spirit, and it destroyed my marriage and my child. I'm self-destructing. Please pray. Shonda, you don't have to live there anymore. There's not a prison that can hold you. There's not an experience of the past or a former abuse that can continue to govern your life. It doesn't have the right to you as a child of God. Here's somebody from Round Rock, Texas. I have three adult kids and grandkids. I'm a hard worker, but I neglected spiritual things. Please pray for me that it's not too late. Sir, it's not too late for you either. It's never too late with God. Oh, I thank God. I know a man in the scriptures, his name was Moses. He was 80 years old, and he thought he'd just blown his whole life's calling was gone. But it was when he was 80 that God actually called him for what his life had always been destined to be about. And he brought millions of people out of bondage and into life. Don't ever doubt what God can do through you when you surrender to him, because with God, all things are possible. He's not bound by age or ability or past experience. Eddie from Alaska says, Jesus, bring me out of spiritual laziness and addictions. Help me to turn off the TV and open my Bible and pray with my wife. Well, there's three things you're asking for. Four, spiritual laziness, addictions, turn off the TV, open my Bible, and pray with my wife. Eddie, I'm going to believe for you tonight that you're going to get the whole five. You're going to get the whole thing tonight. All of it's going to happen at the same time. You're going to be suddenly hungry for the things of God. You're going to turn away from the addictions. You're going to turn off your TV. You're going to open your Bible and start praying with your wife. And watch what God will do in your house. Watch what God will begin to do for you. John from Tucson, Arizona says, Jesus, for 75 years I've done my own thing and never once cared for my three kids or their mothers. Change my hard heart today. John, if you want that, you can have it. If you want your heart changed, even though you're 75, you watch what God will do. Tony from Minnesota, Jesus, grant me humility to get a Bible and read it. Teach me to be a godly father and a humble man and to resist my own desires and to serve my children. There's so many fathers turning back to their children. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that? You remember what Malachi said in the last day? The last prophet in the Old Testament said, in the last days before Jesus returns, the hearts of the fathers would turn back to the children and the children to their fathers. Tony, take courage tonight. And lastly, here's just somebody in the U.S. I'm a pastor with no heart for the needs of people around me. I'm rarely in the Bible and I don't pray. I need to resign. Pray for the courage to leave the pulpit. I want to suggest to you, sir, that maybe you don't need to resign. Maybe, because you know what it's like to be weak. You know what it's like. You know what spiritual lethargy has produced in your life. Maybe you're the one man that can make a huge difference in your community and in your church. If you have the guts to humble yourself before your people and before God and start preaching the truth and dig into the Word of God, people will be astounded at the transformation that happens in you, and they will start to turn to God. Remember, the psalmist David says, I cried out to the Lord and he took me out of a horrible pit and set my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. And many will see it and fear and trust in the Lord. I believe that, Pastor, is a promise for you. You let God lift you out of that place. You let God set you upon a rock. You let God put a new song inside of your mouth and people will see it in your congregation. And the fear of God will touch their heart. In other words, they will start to understand there is a God with whom they have to reckon. And they will turn to the Lord. And in your barrenness, you can become one of the most fruitful men or woman of God in your entire town because you know what it's like to feel lost. You know what it's like to hurt. You know what it's like to be empty. Now you have something to say to your people. Let God touch your life tonight. Because with God, all things are possible. We've come to this point in history. We've come to this moment now in this world where we either believe this or we don't. All the clever devices of man have brought us to nothing. All the schemes, all of the fancy speaking, all the rest of it has left our society where it is today. The only hope now is God. And God's plan has always been to have a people that are raised up out of weakness and into a strength that can only be given by Him, given a voice that only God could give, given a song that can't come from anywhere but heaven. That's always been the plan of God, given a compassion, given giftings of the Holy Spirit, abilities to reach into the hearts of people who are lost and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. Only God can do that. But the good news is God can do that. I love it. When we get to be nothing, we find everything. I said it last Sunday, and I'll say it again. The end of ourselves is the beginning of God. When finally, we just stand there and say, Lord, I need all of you and none of me. I need everything you've got for me. I need you to raise me up. I need you to change me and use my life for your glory. That's when you start finding out that with God, all things are still possible. Now, I'm going to ask us to stand in just a moment. And those that are online too, you would stand and have the courage. We're going to form a circle of about four or five people around. Have the courage to tell somebody what it is that you need God to do. You know, it takes courage. Maybe you're not a kind person. Maybe you're suffering depression. You know, you don't have to lay out your dirty laundry. Don't misunderstand me. But just use whatever it is that you need God to do. Your home, your family, your children. Whatever your circumstance is. And then we're going to believe God together because that's where we've come to as a people. That's where the victory is going to be. When we humble ourselves and pray and say, God, my family's a mess. My life is not what it should be. I struggle with unbelief. God, I'm asking you for the gift of faith that your word says seems to be there for people who want it. I'm asking you to do in me what only can be done by the hand of God. I'm asking you to take me out of where I am and into that realm of the impossible. where, God, you will put a song inside of me and a testimony that can only come from you. Because that's what this generation needs now. They don't need another singer. They don't need another fancy preacher. They need to see people who have a living relationship with the living God. That's what this generation needs.